1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. You know, a lot of times these chapter breaks are sort of out of places. Because, you know, he's looking at the different order within the church. This word servant is dalos, which means slave. Like I said, the system of slavery in the time of the Bible was a lot different. I mean, even the law provided that a runaway slave was not to be returned to his master. That's in... I'll just get it written down somewhere. It's Deuteronomy 23:15. Okay. You know, once again, men using scriptures like this is a cloak for their wickedness. Again, but, you know, it's like as I am to be, as Christ is my master. You know, think about the way our master deals with us. God is owner of us, of our souls. And Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son of God is in the business of making people free. Free from the bondage of sin, where we become his servants. And it's something we want to be. We want to serve God. That's what people want. I'm a servant of God, a minister of God. All those things mean I am his servant, his slave. Again, him holding him. You know, in our modern sensibilities, in the history we have in this country, you know, this could be very difficult for people to swallow. You know, I would remind, again, once he lived in a different time, but also he's right. But a good man will allow that man a way to get free and not take his entire life away. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. See, there's this, you know, people tend to look at it in the sense of Christianity, but it's, what can I get for myself? What do I gain out of all this? And there is something to be gained. But your personal gain in the flesh, in the earthly flesh, such as a slave, his main, I want to get free. I want to get on with my life. I want to make my own way in the world. I don't want to serve this guy. Whether it be just or unjust. You can have a just master who's going to do, you know, in the old days, that's what they did, is they buy people to work. All right? Paul, and I'm not going to teach otherwise, because if I don't, I'm just a proud know-nothing. You know? This is a doctrine which is according to godliness. Godliness is not about my life. It's about giving up our lives. So, sometimes living as a slave, you know, according to man in the flesh, that's terrible. We need to have liberty. We need to be free. You know, but in another place, Paul says, you know, the guy who is free is a slave, and the guy who is a slave is free. Because he's the Lord's free man. Because he's a slave in the flesh. And he's this free in the flesh becomes a slave. It's kind of mysterious. We'll get that when we get to... we'll get to that later. When we come across that. But you know, it is... We have to consent to the wholesome words. The words of our Lord, and the doctrine which is according to godliness. Godliness is not about my own personal advancement in this world. It doesn't really, I can be godly and be a slave. I can be godly. And so, you know, this desire, and is it possible to be a master and be godly? Yeah, well, they could, yeah, you can be, but you can be a master and be very wicked. So it's not like a carte blanche approval of slavery, but just like the wives submit to their husbands. Whether they believe or not, they're supposed to submit to them. They're not supposed to submit to them that they should cause them to sin. You know. The idea here is the slaves to do service, not, you know, to work, not to endure all kinds of beatings. A bishop is not supposed to be a striker. Someone who gets physical, you know. A guy who likes to beat his servants or slaves or whatever. It's not a godly man. A good master, his slaves would love him. Because he'd be good to them. And he would provide them a way that they could be free. If I was a master, if I found myself as an inheritor of some sort of estate, that's what I would want to be. One who gives freedom. I'd want to make my slaves happy. So that they would work hard. And they would free themselves. And I'd let them go. And then the profit I make from that, I'd buy other slaves that they could go free too. I'd buy them from cruel masters. That's how I would deal with that situation. I'm a poor man. I don't, you know, in any age, I wouldn't have to worry about that. Doting about questions, again, it's like, well, is it really? And out of these questions and strifes of words, you know, it's not just this last part that Paul's talking about. He's talking about all the stuff he's said so far. You know, all the doctrine he's been teaching. Because again, the chapter division here is kind of unfortunate. You know, let this, let that, let this, let that. You know, remember, if you look at the form in chapter 5, verse 17, he says, let the elders, right? And he had previously said, I mean, and then he says, let as many servants, you know. This is part and parcel of the same thought. What is the doctrine of Jesus Christ? What are the words that he has spoken?